The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Wir haben einen besonderen Gast.
If you say so.
Mach dich bereit für Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Wie geht es dir?
Ja, wie geht es dir?
Gut. Welcome everybody, Goldie's Closet. This is episode 47. We seem to have some sort of theme with musical guests. I've been honored enough to get to know Martin, and it's Martinik.
That's correct.
Say it with the German accent.
Actually, it's a Slovenian accent, because that's where my parents are from.
They are?
Yeah, that's Slovenia is now its own country, but it used to be a part of Yugoslavia.
I have been to Yugoslavia.
But you have been, yeah.
I went right where the split was. Mm-hmm. Do you know that it was before Yugoslavia, then after we visited, it changed into what?
It's the separate countries. So
yes.
Now you have Slovenia, you have Croatia, you have Serbia, you have Bosnia. Of Northern Macedonia.
So you are Yugoslavian or you're German?
Well, I'm born in Germany.
But you're Yugoslavian.
No, I'm German. Oh. I don't have a. Well, right now it doesn't exist anymore. But my parents escaped communism in the late 60s.
From where?
From Yugoslavia.
What was the I'm so out of it. I don't even know what was the communism in Yugoslavia under whose rule?
Well, it was basically part of the Eastern Bloc, under control of the Soviet Union, basically.
Wow.
So it all stretched out all the way down.
Are your parents okay? Did they go through bad stuff?
Oh, they did good, but they were trying to provide a better life for their family. At that time, my brother was already alive.
Were they,
he was already born, so they brought him over, and then...
But they weren't going through, like, abusive things there?
Well, not abusive, but economic changes or chances were much lower than.
What stories do your parents tell that have impacted you on appreciation? Because my parents were not under that rule, but my mom lived through the Depression and she had a different take on things. In fact, last night I was thinking of my mom. I financially am going through a stretch right now. Thank you. We all know what that's like. But I bought one of those Walmart chickens for $4. And then my mom, God rest her soul, she would never, that wasn't enough. You could pick off every ounce of meat. She would boil that bitch. And every last bit of meat, use it and throw in some things. And I had some stuff that I made my stew soup. She really did teach me going through the depression not to waste anything, and I love that gift. I wish our society, our nation, our world would not be so wasteful. Did you learn any lessons?
Absolutely. Like this one example is that I always finish my plate.
You do.
I do not like to waste food.
Because of your parents? Because of what you've seen?
It was more like, it wasn't really like verbalized. It was more like, that's what I was brought up with, and that's what I saw, and you kind of like mimic what your parents do.
You, on a whole though, Germans, most Europeans are not like the super size big ol' American waist. Like I remember all of my friends, because I started touring, as I said, when I was 8, my friends, they did not have a lot of clothes. They had a few outfits, but they were really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like very just very tasteful, very not traditional, but what's the word I'm looking for when it doesn't, not trendy, but classic.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had really, really great stuff. Did you have that growing up too in Germany? Did you just have a bunch of disposable stuff like we do? What's the difference? Because the Europeans, like I said, it seemed like you weren't as wasteful. You didn't have as many things, but it was more quality.
I can definitely tell that times have changed and just the whole society.
They have.
Yeah, they are more wasteful these days.
They're more douched out American then.
I would go that
far. No, I would. I would.
No, definitely what is a fact is that portion sizes are smaller. When you go to a restaurant or you go eat out. And also like clothing are definitely, I didn't have like, I had a closet full of clothes, but the closet was smaller. And also the what things change in a way that the, America has a really strong effect, especially to Germany. I mean, no, Germany is really, really thankful for basically liberating the country from the Nazis and helping to build up the country again after it was basically destroyed.
Martin has been helping us out on a few shows while we are looking for a permanent bass player, and we'll get into the awesome band that he is in and his history and all. There's a lot of things Rod Saylor filled me in about you last night. I didn't know that you were trained in a certain way, and I didn't know all of this stuff about you. You made a statement, something about, I said, everybody loves Germans, and you said, unless you're Jewish.
Oh, that was like, yeah, it was last Saturday at like 2 a.m.
I made a comment, yeah. Everybody loves Germans.
Right.
And you said,
except if you're Jewish.
Do you think, because I have a lot of friends.
I'm not laughing because
It was a light remark.
It was a remark
that I was saying everybody loves Germans because I love Europeans and I love Germans. And then you made that point, and I guess I didn't think of that because even my friends that are Vietnamese, I love them so much. Like, we are such good friends, and it wasn't that long ago that we bombed the shit out of their people.
Right.
So when you are around, when you grew up with Jewish people, what is that like for you? Do you feel guilty? Because I feel guilty sometimes, even though I had nothing to do with what happened to the Vietnamese. I still feel bad.
It's an interesting analogy. I've never thought about it like that, but I guess
it's something that your country did to another people, whether or not you were being attacked or not. Do you ever feel guilty?
Yeah. There's definitely a strong sense of sensitivity that I have.
In a kind way.
Of course.
Exactly.
Because
some people, they do harm to others, and then there's almost a reverse thing where I can't even explain it. Like, they're just mad about it in general, where I feel such a sense of remorse for anybody that we've ever done anything to.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I look at, we had a guy in the band for a while who was African-American, and he would tell stories about, he was an older guy, he would tell stories about what it was like back then, and I feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine, how could you be like that to somebody, or how could that be like that?
Yeah.
So that was an interesting remark that you said, unless you're Jewish, and I just was, what I thought about that, you made me think, and I was just like, I wonder how German people feel on a whole, or how you feel in a whole towards Jewish people, if it's something that you think about, or if it's just like in your heart, or does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to, because it's interesting, I still have a really strong connection to Germany.
Yeah.
I have both citizenships. I'm American now, which I'm really happy about and proud of, but I kept my German citizenship because basically my whole family is still there, and now luckily I travel back more often, and so I identify still with a lot of, and I inform myself about what's going on, so I watch German news.
Yes.
And it was a little bit concerning that last night or night before I watched German news again, and it said that there are stronger anti-Semitic tendencies again in Germany. So there was a report about a synagogue in Bavaria that was, somebody went and spray painted swastikas on the side.
Really?
Does it go in cycles?
Does it go in cycles? Because I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah, it's coming back again a little bit. And they interviewed the rabbi, and he said when he was in the 90s, it was a really big taboo to say anything bad about Jewish people.
Sure.
And now it seems like it's coming back. A little bit more.
I wonder what causes that, and I have just watched a very interesting documentary about one of Hitler's helpers, one of his maids, one of his day-to-day people, and I love watching this stuff, Martin, because I love looking at everything from other people's perspective.
Right.
And just to see, like, this young girl who didn't know what she was getting herself into, and she was promised all of this wonderful lifestyle, and she received that, and she said he was kind. I mean, it wasn't until, like, they were kind of kept secluded.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And then what she lives with now, and they asked her, it was so interesting at the end, they asked her, if it rolled around again, would you say yes? And I believe she said that she would. You know, and it's just, you don't, there's so many different things in life, and I bring up that question because I always like all of us, with all of our political beliefs, with all of our religious beliefs, with how we look at other people, to truly try and put yourself in other people's shoes and the climate and what was going on, and to try to understand from history, but to always have a kind heart.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I try to look at the person first.
Absolutely.
Their background, whatever, it's kind of, if you're a good person, you're a good person, no matter what your skin color or your religious belief or and if you are an asshole, then it doesn't matter what you believe, and you might be like the same, you could be my clone, mm-hmm. but you're still an asshole.
Yes.
In my soul. I'm not basing anybody on like what my background is or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm just like, who are you as a person?
That's why I've always gotten along with people from other countries. I started traveling when I was super, super young, and I noticed European, Asian, they were less judgmental than people in America were. I can say it because I'm an American. You don't have to say anything. We always assume like everybody should learn English, where most Europeans know several languages. It's like it's nothing to them that they have their own native tongue, and then they learn English, and they usually have something else that they speak too, where we just expect that everybody should just learn fucking English. And it just, I say, that's why I like Germans, that's why I like Europeans, and that's why I've gotten along with Asian people, because they were a little bit more, I don't know, open, accepting, and lenient, and we're just busy over here supersizing all of our memes. The hot topics.
Right into the deep end.
Right into the deep end. Let's go on back. I was actually listening to a Howard Stern interview today, two of them.
Okay.
One of them was Marilyn Manson, just awkward and like really uncomfortable. Like only like Howard Stern could. I don't like to make people feel uncomfortable. If I do, it's not intentional. The other one he was doing was Richie Sambora.
Oh, interesting.
And he was really getting into some questions and of course asking, you know, stuff that we all want to know. But I want to take everybody back to, okay, so you're a little dude growing up in Germany. Where in Germany?
It's the southwest of Germany. I always say it's like an hour south of Frankfurt. The city is called Ludwigshafen.
Ludwigshafen.
Yeah, Ludwigshafen.
Hafen.
Yeah. So it's on the Rhine River.
Yes.
Biggest river in Germany.
Yes.
And it's a big industrial port. So Hafen means harbor or port. And Ludwig is King Louis.
Okay.
King Ludwig from Bavaria. Because the area where I'm from, even though it's actually 3 hours away from Bavaria, was part of it in the past. And so they named the city after that.
After the harbor.
After
the King Louis.
After the king.
But, and I think of king, I think of riches, but when I hear harbor, I think some hard-ass working dudes and ladies. Like, if that's the town, then that must have been, was that the main source of income, is everything that happened in the harbor, or was that before you were born?
Oh, what it is, it's a big industrial
city. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so hard work is what I think of hard work.
Yeah, so the biggest employer in the city is a chemical factory called BASF.
Okay.
And they employed the majority of the people that actually lived
there. Was there a lot of money? Were people comfortable, or were they just working?
For a while, yes.
Okay.
Now, not so much anymore, and now that city is kind of fighting against like deterioration. They've built a lot of roads and highways that are now kind of like falling apart.
Okay.
And so last time I drove through like a couple of months ago, it was a little depressing.
Depressing a little mm-hmm. bit. When I go home, not that right, I grew up in a shithole and now it's even worse. Now the shithole's got bars on everything and you can't, it's bad. And it is depressing in there because that's your home. And you just want to see it flourish again.
Right.
Do well. But let's go back to when you were, let's just pick an age, when you're walking around thinking, I probably don't want to work at the industrial
at that
plant.
Factory, yeah. That was one of my life goals.
Okay,
like,
so
not
but how,
to work there.
How old were you?
Well, ever since I was able to kind of like identify what that would mean.
What did you see? What did you see that made you?
Well, my parents are blue-collar workers. My mm-hmm. dad, they're both retired. Mm-hmm. But my dad was a truck driver. And my mom was mostly a stay-at-home mom, but she sometimes worked some part-time jobs, also cleaning and stuff. I mean,
yeah.
they were immigrants. So
hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work. Check it out. How old were you when, in your mind, and how old were you when it came out of your mouth that Because it's almost like, for me, for an entertainer or a musician, to say what you want to do, for me in a family that you go to school, you get a college degree, yada, yada, yada. For me to say what I needed to say, it was almost like, I'm gay. It was almost like coming out of the closet to say, Dad, I really want to pursue this full time. Like, how old were you when you got the bug? How old were you? We're like, I'm going to be a rock star. And then how much longer past that did you tell your parents? Did you tell your mom first? Did you tell your dad, like, I'm going to be this?
Well, it was. I mean, I did the college thing.
Yeah,
I went to.
But it was music stuff, though.
No, it was a business degree.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to stay on my parents' good side, so it's like let's go and do college. And then the reason is I didn't really want to do it, but I was like, yeah, let's appease them. And plus, college is free in Germany.
What? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So, a big difference.
Right. That's why.
But how old were you when you were just like?
Well, I got my first plastic electric guitar when I was three. My third birthday, yeah. And there's still pictures of
who gave it to you?
My parents was a gift.
Okay. But they weren't thinking like you're gonna be full blown.
They gotta spark the fire. And I still remember it wasn't a real guitar, it was really more like just a toy.
Yeah.
But I banged it so hard that it basically eventually broke. And I still remember walking to the dumpster with my dad, and it was like a funeral when we tried it. I was really sad. I still imagine it was like 5 or 6.
Oh.
And then I kept bagging my parents for another couple of years until like my dad broke down eventually and bought me my first acoustic guitar when I was 8.
Okay.
And that's
what I was doing. Were you in love, or was it just something to kind of pass the time? Or
no, I mean, I wanted to do it, but I didn't really put the time into practice. I learned bar chords, and then I stuck with that.
Okay.
For the longest time, just played, kind of like moved my hand around like that. And then my brother talked me into spending my communion money, because I was Catholic. Yeah.
Oh, imagine that.
on an electric guitar, so I got that. But then he ended up playing it the whole time, so I was kind of pissed at him. My brother's 6 years older, so I couldn't.
Does
do
your
much.
Brother play still?
He's a sound engineer, he's a recording engineer in Frankfurt, Germany.
Is he proud of what you're doing?
I think he is.
Has he been to any shows?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he came out.
That's exciting. All right, so you got this non-plastic toy, because that one's in the dumpster, and you're starting to, you got the electric, but your brother's playing it, but you do play it.
Right.
So you started on a guitar, even though you play bass now.
Right. Yeah. And so a couple of years later, my brother came home with a bass guitar, because apparently he wanted to start a band, I guess.
So who's going to play bass, your brother or you?
Me. He wanted to play guitars, and I wanted to play bass.
Wait, was that cool with you, or did you feel
it? Yeah, the second I touched it, I was like, I love this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's when I really started practicing. This is when I
practicing
really
the bass.
Yeah.
So you are a bassist, not a guitarist that has Paul McCartney'd out and switched.
Well, Paul McCartney is an amazing bass player.
He is, but he started on a guitar.
Yeah, I think many bass players do.
They do, but they did the brother thing where they said, you're going to play bass now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, you need to. And then what was Nikki Sixx's claim to fame for his bass? He went to go get his guitar.
Right.
And he didn't know the difference.
Exactly. He went to the audition.
He went and brought him
back. He stole a guitar.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, it's in the book.
But it wasn't a guitar. It was a bass.
No, he went into, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I read the book.
I
he went into a music store with an empty guitar case. And the sales guy was distracted, and so he took a guitar, put it in the case, and walked out. So he stole a guitar.
Okay, what you just said, and we're going to get back to your story, but we're going to bookmark in. We've been having auditions. Everybody on the brand, everybody at the Realm Network knows we've been auditioning these motherfuckers for 4 months. So we finally had this guy come the other day who didn't have a bass. I said, don't worry about it. If you can play bass that well, go ahead and use mine. And the bitch complained the whole time after the audition when... It's like the minute he walked out the door, he wanted to know if he was in the group. And you got to give people like a minute to marinate and think about things. And let me tell you, you push somebody, especially a strong chick like me, you push too hard and you're gonna get no. It's best to just let things sit. And I mean, don't be stupid about it. But if somebody's not getting back to you about either a date or a job or jobs, check in, stay on the radar. But once you're pushy, This guy lit laundry list of excuses, including my shitty bass, and it wasn't set up properly. He didn't like the strings on it. They were too old, too corroded. And as I said to Rod Saylor, our drummer, like, if you don't like my shitty bass, you should have shown up. With, I mean, Nikki Sixx, people, he's out stealing his instrument for the audition. If you really want
something... We don't endorse that,
by the way. If you really want something bad enough, borrow it from a friend or rent it for the day. We've talked about people that have been in the Goldilocks band who really went above and beyond to get to their audition or to show that they wanted it. It's like, where is the desire for things anymore? I just feel like it's kind of sloping down, like you were talking about your past neighborhood. It's deteriorating a little bit, and I want things to go back to where people actually had passion and fire. And
isn't making music about passion? Didn't it used to be like that?
Somebody knocking on my door.
I don't know. Weird. I think it could be my...
No, somebody's knocking on the door. They know better. That music used to be about passion, and...
I think it still is.
It is for some people. And that's why we like playing with you, and I'm attracted to people that don't just want to get through the day or status quo. So many people out there with so many things are status quo-y. You gotta have passion, and people watching this right now, you have passion for wrestling, you have passion for video games. You pay to watch Jeff Lane play video games, and I get it. I don't necessarily play video games like that, but I appreciate the passion.
I play soccer. I'm a player.
Is that your... I thought you meant in real life. I can just see you running around with a bass. So your brother's got this gimmick. He shows up. He's got a bass for you.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys form a band?
We played a couple of church gigs together.
Okay, cool. So, that's cool.
But then,
Catholic church gig?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but then he had just joined the military, so he was gone for that. Because back then it was mandatory. So it was,
you had for yeah. German?
Yeah. Band? And they don't have that anymore. I didn't go. But he had to...
I'd fight it. But you can't. You gotta go.
You could. You were able to. But then you had to do a substitute service. Like work in a nursing home.
Okay.
Or a couple of my friends did. Like work for the ambulance dispatch. That kind of stuff.
Whether you wanted to or not.
Right.
Which goes back. Go ahead. Goes back to what my dad, Tom the Conservative, always says. Moon, nothing in life is for free. So... Your college is free, but then there's a trade-off there. Like, you have
right.
to do something else.
Right, no, and taxes are higher.
Really?
Like, yeah, 40%.
Taxes for everybody?
Yeah, like when you work, like that's what's being taken out of your paycheck.
Okay, that's a lot. Back to the band. You're in church. Right. You're playing some gigs at the church, at the Catholic church, with your brother. And then he goes to the military, and then you're stuck with the space.
Exactly. And then I practiced.
Did you join something else right away?
Not right away. That was something else that I don't know why, but I was like, I only want to be in a band once I'm good.
Okay, that's rare.
I wanted to wait until I'm like proficient enough that I feel like, okay, I can deliver.
How much do you practice every day?
I didn't have a regimen. As soon as I could.
You had the
that was my hobby, my pace, my pastime, my whatever I wanted to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Rod said something about you have all of this classical stuff on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, not all of.
You can play
things.
Classical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you practice, then.
But I mean, you don't hear a lot of people like.
He suggested it.
Is he German?
No, he's a guitar player in Vegas.
We were just talking about Melissa Cross is the Zen of screaming. She is a vocal teacher to so many. Metal front person singers. She's absolutely amazing. There is definitely a technique there that you use to not completely annihilate your voice. And for me, we play for long periods of time. It gets really, really difficult. Melissa Cross, the Zen of Screaming, she's got lots of different volumes and DVDs. I'm sure just videos that you stream now, but check her out. You were going to say we took a quick break. Now that we're back, you wish you would have appreciated...
Oh, your German intro. It was very considerate of you. Oh. I thought we were just practicing.
German is the one language that I never got it. I'm appreciating it more than I'm older, but I wish when I was younger, I always went for who speaks a language that's a hot guy, which was French, Spanish... Japanese, Korean, some Vietnamese, and if I had my one wish, it would be, which I'm sure I'd be killed for it, it would be to speak every language. I've always just gone nuts about languages. If you had one wish, what would it be? Like, if you could do one genie wish and not for three more wishes, what would it be? that's mine. It really is. I just would love to be able to speak every language. I love communicating with people. And
see, I use Google Translate for that.
Dick. I said I liked Germans, you know, but I didn't.
I'm just lazy.
It's a prerequisite. They're all dinkheads. No, you're just lazy.
We're efficient. We're not lazy. We're efficient.
You're very, very efficient. Like, I went to Germany when I was 8. So mm-hmm. I went to Italy when I was 9. I went to Japan, China, Korea when I was really young. And you just, I guess you're impressionable. And in Italy, when they had the, like, carpaccio, like, I came home and I wanted meat that looked like mouse ears. And my mom had no idea. It's thin meat with oil on it, cracked pepper. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they eat over there.
Well, Italians know how to eat.
It's not like it's pizza and cheese and shit. It's not like that at all. Like, I was very impressionable and had such an amazing experience in Germany when I went all the years that I toured there. Just nothing but love and good stuff. And like I said, like here, God, everybody's just an asshole. They're assholes in America. Like, and I know because I've been traveling for years.
I have to cut in and disagree.
Do you really? I just think I think we have a lot of work to do here compared to you guys.
No, I always experienced Americans as being really nice.
Where?
Open, but everywhere. I mean, it's probably because you grew up here and you know, for you, it's nothing special.
I'm glad to hear that because I don't like, you know, I remember going over to Yugoslavia and we had like one of these huge VCR cameras that was like, it was like the battery for it was like heavier than the freaking train. And like my dad was just walking around like bragging about, oh, we're from America. We have this like really huge obsolete video camera. We're videoing everybody. And I was just so embarrassed, Martin, and all I could hear in my head was like, the ugly American is here, you know. And I was just, and then we did go to Yugoslavia, we did go up this huge mountain, I don't know where, up to, all I remember is looking down and like seeing all of these small cars that had crashed and the people had died and perished. And I was on this, how old was I then, 10, 11, and it was a hot day, it was hot as fuck, so hot. And the bus driver offered my dad a drink of water, you know, just drinking out of this thing, and he gives it to my dad. And then my dad gave it to me, and it was 1,000% pure cognac. And I was 10 or 11, and I just remember, like, I was, and then here's this guy that's driving this up this rickety mountain, like, right. Slamming, what? God! And I'm like, we're gonna die. We are gonna die. We reached the top and the ugly Americans are now there. Well, apparently they had their Polaroid camera with them. Mm-hmm. Well, these people some of them had never had their photo taken.
Right.
And they freaked out. Then they're grabbing this lamb is like, and they slaughtered, cut this lamb's throat in front of us. And I'm 10. Mm. What the fuck is going on? And like, they wanted to give us an offering
because of
the camera, because of the Polaroids. Mm. And so people were lining up, and then thank God we had some extra packs of Polaroid blanks. But like, that's all I remember was like this dead lamb and blood everywhere. And they were so enthralled with our Polaroid camera. That's so true. It's such a true story though. And then more of the cognac. I'm sure I was drunk. I'm sure my dad
probably
was. But yeah, that's my story of Yugoslavia. Okay.
It's not a bad story.
I really did think that we were going to, the cars are so small. And as you went up the mountain.
Yeah, they had those, they call them Fijis. They're like the Fiat 500.
Yes, I had a Fiat X19, not the same, but.
Oh yeah, that was like they have the 500 now,
and
now they have tiny. They built them as on license.
And can you drink and drive over in Yugoslavia? I guess there's everybody's dead. There was nobody patrolling. There were cars like every few minutes you'd look down and it was like they had.
I'm
perished.
Sure they had laws back then too, but they
weren't adhering to it. I don't know how we got onto this sidetrack of Yugoslavia slaughtering a lamb, slitting its throat. We are
for
back to metal. Mach dich bereit für Metal. Say it again.
Mach dich bereit für Metal.
Bereit für Metal.
You could actually.
I was going to say, I wish I would have learned German. I really do. It's a very universal. I would say it's one of the most universal. A lot of people speak Japanese in business, but I've met so many people all around that speak German. And I didn't get it because there was no hot guy that spoke German. I was up everybody else's ass that spoke another language, to like my Spanish teacher. That's one of the things Howard Stern asked Richie Sambora, because he did get his first record deal when he was like 19, and I guess he did really well in school and everything, and he asked if he ever banged any of his teachers. What a question to ask. I mean, I didn't. I don't know if you did. You kind of have a guilty look on your face.
No, no, I was waiting for the answer.
Oh, no, I know, I didn't. I definitely wanted to. I mean, I didn't know what sex was back in like 7th grade, you know, dippy Catholic chick, but I just remember the boy, that Spanish guy.
Catholic chicks are the worst.
They're terrible.
I don't know.
They're no, Catholic.
That's what Billy Joel says.
They are, Catholic chicks are the worst, and I joke at shows because you're taught like everything is wrong, but then you can give like blowjobs or anal sex is fine. It's so.
God's loophole.
It's a loophole. It's some kind of hole. I don't know. And it's working for some other priests. I don't know. I told my dad the other day, I wish they would just get rid of altar boys and altar girls. Just, it's not working. Just, they need to go. Just, why do they keep having them? It just, you're Catholic.
I was an altar boy.
I.
Yeah. But I kept my pants on.
Did you ever get solicited?
No.
I didn't see a lot of that funky stuff in grade school. In high school, there was some shit going down. Mm. And it was bad. So I'm just saying, get rid of the altar boys. My dad says no. If they want to be involved in the church, they should at a young age, and I'm like, no.
Free labor.
All right, let's go back to this band.
All right,
your brother goes off to be in the military, and now you're just content with practicing and being great, and then what happens?
Well, then I started my first like little original local band, and first we did some covers, and at some point we started writing up our own songs.
Isn't that amazing? Went. Like, do you remember? I remember the first show that I did with a band.
I did too.
I was scared to death because we were being paid, and
no, I didn't get paid.
I did, but that's a pressure that's good not to have because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I really, and it does. It is a testament to if you really want to do something and go out and live your dream, you kind of just gotta. There's pros and cons, but I'm just jump out of the tree, fall flat on your face and figure it out, where the other people that want to set everything up to be just perfect all the time, I feel sometimes they're self-sabotaging, and I watch them never ever get around to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're so busy perfecting stuff that it's like I got a long way to go before I perfect anything, but I do make a living and I'm happy because I took that step. And what was your first show like? Did people like it? Was it good? Did you suck? I kind of sucked on our first show.
I think we did okay. It was a three piece.
Okay.
So, and actually I played guitar in that gig. I didn't even play bass.
Oh.
Because we didn't have a guitar player, so I played guitar with a keyboard player who played bass with his left hand.
Yeah.
And a drummer. And I know
who
he
sang?
Has. I think I did.
Oh, you have a great voice.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, very great voice. Like, I've been experiencing that. That's Martin played with us last weekend, and I told my dad, the prophet of gloom, I was just telling him all about it, and he's like, I don't get mad, Mon. And I'm like, oh, God, here it comes. I don't mean to be negative. I'm like, then don't. Then just don't even say it. He's like,
not a good start.
That's how my dad starts everything. Now, don't get mad, and I don't mean to be negative, but you're going to have a really hard time finding somebody that good again. Just like, okay, Dad, thank you for letting, just let me fucking relish in, because I said it was a flawless show and it was really good.
It was a great show.
It was a great show. Yeah,
but,
was,
but you make the show great.
The only reason I can make the show at all great or contribute is because when people that are on the stage, when I'm out dinking around, are holding it down and doing great stuff and making it a great experience. Because let me tell you, when I get mad and it happens, it's not. I lose my shit when people are back there.
You're a wrestler,
no, when people
so.
Are, but they're fucking around back there, or yeah. It's dead air, and they're just. We've had some people that are just. They're just. I'm like, where are you? Are you present here? You're getting paid to do something. Where are you? And they're just looking around, or they're laying down on the ground.
Yeah, that's.
So your first show went off without a hitch, and then you just start building. You do more and more shows.
Yeah, basically, yeah, but it's just a little
well, yeah, but
here
like,
and there. But
look what you're doing now. Like, we still haven't said, okay, so there's this like amazing German band that I've heard about for years. We recorded with Michael Wagner, who's friends with Wolf Hoffman. I knew about Accept but I didn't know about how like big they were. They are, and then here's this guy showing up to like help us out, and he is now in. And I looked at their announcement online of you. It was a great photo of you. And then there's a female violinist as well.
Well, I asked you that was for that specific show
tour we did
with the symphony.
And you're still here, and they rolled it out, and they said, "Here's our newest member," and like now you're in the band. Except what the fuck? Like,
what the fuck, exactly.
No, but is that just not, so like, how does that even happen?
Yeah, I agree. It's still,
I mean, you're super talented, but, like, I watched the balls to the wall, and, like, they were, and then all of a sudden, like, boop, here comes Martin, like, you came from the back, and I was like, I got chills, and I was just like... And the size of the crowds that you play for, and the venues, and it's just, and Richie Sambora, because he was asking Martin Scorsese, what the fuck, I'm so tired I can't even talk. Howard Stern was asking him, you're going out on your solo tour now. He's like, and he kind of, it wasn't an insult, but he made it sound like you're gonna be playing these little, you know, bars,
smaller shows.
Yeah, but he was like, these are beautiful like theaters, like, right. And it's gonna be great. But he was saying, like, it's not like these, you know, stadiums that you play when you're with Bon Jovi. But, I mean, the theaters that he's playing is nothing to scoff at.
Oh, no, you have to fill that with your own name.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot of room in between a stadium and a bar and a beautiful theater. And then there's all of this space. And, like, the crowds that I saw that you were playing for when you said we're going out on this run, I was like, damn, is that... Is it just exciting? Because I mean, Richie was saying that if you don't get excited when you go out into those size rooms, like, you're an asshole. He just said you are a bona fide asshole. He said, I still just get so excited to this day, like, holy shit. And then he said to Howard Stern, like, we're just two guys from, you know, down in the Bronx or whatever, look what we're doing. It's like, you've got to be, what goes through your head when you're backstage, like what I just said I saw, and you pop out on stage in Accept in front of an audience like that. Because those guys are going fucking crazy. Like, they're, and I told my dad, because he was like, oh, what's so good about this guy? I'm just like, oh, God. My dad, he's right there with me, though, 77 years old, following along. And I said, let me tell you about metal guys. Like, they show up with their dick out, ready to rock and ready to go. Yeah. Whereas the pop music that I did, and especially the R&B world, everybody's so high. They're just so chill. And you could go out and just suck, and they'd be like, hey, they're having a good time, rolling. They just want to dance and make out with chicks and chill. Whereas you're like, these guys are just like, they're at the edge of the stage. Like, they will eat you alive if you walked out there and sucked. Like, it's a different... You gotta really have your shit together in metal.
You definitely do. But they're not... All of them are really, really nice people. The people in the crowd you talk to them are all really nice.
Hardcore. They're excited.
Oh yeah, exactly. They have a passion for the music.
Yes.
And so I was thinking of something when you said crowd sizes, like big stadiums or small clubs or where. I always think that every person in the audience is important.
Good.
It doesn't matter. Your show shouldn't change, or your attitude. Your show's gonna change.
You're right. That's a pro attitude.
But your attitude shouldn't change if you have like if the room's half empty, or there's a stadium that's, or like a festival with tens of thousands of people.
Then I talk about when I get pissed on stage. Let me tell you, first set we went backstage someplace, and two of the kids that I was bitching about on the run, they just said, well, there's nobody here. And I swear to God, I wanted to freaking take their shirt up, girl and boy, and chop them and choke hold them and just say, that is the worst thing you can ever, ever tell me. You perform, whether there's four people out there, whether it's a stadium. And let me tell you something for you guys that are watching. I'm going to cut a promo right now. I'm going to tell you something about Terry Taylor. Just reading me a new one. It was Orlando. It was one of the huge pay-per-views. And I remember there was pyro. I got my heels stuck in the grid walking down. I did my bit. I thought I crushed it. I thought I did such a great job. I came back. I was on this high. Like, I did so good. And he pulled me aside, you guys. And you know what I got screamed at for? I got screamed at because my hand motions weren't big enough for that stadium. He said that the people all the way in the back should have seen every, like, make it so obnoxious, and it stuck with me, and he screamed at me. He said, you think that you're all that, and you're all high and mighty. He really, really brought me down, and to this day, I bring that with me on stage, thinking, number one, every single person there is so important because it's their time. You're competing against diddling yourself. You're competing against video games. You're competing against having sex with your girlfriend or going to a movie or the cinema, whatever. It's like they showed up. You better bring it. And don't you dare make mistakes if there aren't enough people for you to feel like you're going to give your 100% at. So I didn't realize when I was younger, I was annoyed by people that wanted to talk to me after the show. I was put out by it. And I got an attitude adjustment. And my dad asked me the other day when I went home for Christmas, he's like, when did that change for you? I'm like, I don't know, but I am glad that it did because I was a dick. I got too much fame and fortune and money at a really early age, and it went to my head, and I was an asshole. Yeah. I was a shitty, dark, icky person. Thank God that changed, but it's hard for me to watch other people not getting that. When you say everybody's important, how do you show that?
Well, first of all, you cannot blame the people who are there for the people who are not.
Not there.
Yeah, because
right.
I've heard that some people
who would say that.
Oh, I've heard entertainers, performers say that. So, well, it's just a few guys here, but it's okay. Well, wait to bring them down. And so that's just a big no-no.
Yeah, totally.
No, you're on stage, you know, you're there to entertain. I'm really, really grateful that I'm able to do that. And this is why I love America so much, because for me personally, that's my success story. I was in some successful bands in Germany, but I was not able to do it full time. I always had to have some supplement income, supplement jobs, some computer work, worked in the music store, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And only when I actually dare to make the step over to the United States, I was able to find some odd jobs here and there too, painted houses and stuff in the beginning, what everybody has to do. But by and large, I've been a full-time musician only since I moved to the States. And this is why I'm so grateful to be here. And I just love being here.
I wish people that lived in America were grateful to be here. I love bagging on people. Certain people that need their ass.
But it's like how it is. You don't know what you have until either it's gone, or you go somewhere else and you realize, oh, fuck, we are really nice. That's why traveling is important. Leaving the country is important. I mean, America is a huge country, and I can understand why some people say, we got everything, why leave?
No, you gotta go.
But I think opening your mind, I like experiences better than things.
Me too, absolutely, absolutely. And going through what I did, I was loaded for a while. Like I had a lot, and I lost it all. Went bankrupt, fell on my face, lost a record deal, wrestling, got fired. Thanks to we all know who got me fired. That's a running joke on the Realm Network. I lost all that stuff, and now I do. And it's almost like when other people complain about stuff, it burns because I'm like, oh, you don't know how good you got it, or I drove all the way down to the show and then some of the way back, and it's like I would never complain about driving all night or doing what we need to do or loading, or because it's just such an opportunity. And I look at like that one woman that worked at that place, she said how much she made, everybody else isn't making that, and I'm like, you guys have to like wash dishes all night, or you have to schlep or clean or do.
The waitress at the
Like, I mean, these people that work in guest services and what's that industry? The gaming industry. It is hardcore work. And then here's us like blown in and playing through a few songs, and like it was light sets, and they feed you, and it's like, swear to God, if I hear any shit out of somebody's mouth, that's like Rod even said about one of the places, he's like, and the stairs are a good workout because they know.
Yeah, that's like an attitude where I'm like, well, I admired him when he said that. So we had this one game when we played, it was like in the second floor.
Yes.
We had to schlep everything upstairs, and
Yeah.
I was like, I'm glad I'm not a drummer.
Yeah. No, he's got a lot of gear. And half the reason that he says that is because before we even get to that one gig, he'll like say, don't say anything about the stairs or G will go off. Like, you know, like if you don't like the stairs and fucking go home, like then you go play for, just sit at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like everything is an opportunity. So how did you get, and I'm not going to say gig, because you're playing with like these huge places. How did you get the gig? How did you get the position of bass player with Accept? Has it sank, whatever. Has it sank in yet? And I would still be a little surreal. Because that's a freaking dream gig.
It absolutely is. I mean, I've known them since the early 80s.
So you were like a supporter. I hate that fan word. You know that. You were a supporter of them.
I always had the biggest respect for the band. So, I mean, they were one of Germany's biggest bands.
Yeah.
And especially back in the 80s when like rock and metal and all that was like up and coming and the music to listen to. The fact that Germany has a band that had the Scorpions, mm-hmm. and then you had Accept, and then that's kind of it.
Yeah. What about Doro? Does she count for anything?
Oh yeah, no, of course. Warlock, of course. I think we're playing with Doro actually.
Aww, she's such a cute little thing.
I haven't met her personally yet, but I'm really
looking
forward
to her. She just looks like a cute little thing. I was watching a lot of her stuff. She's
just
cute as pie.
I heard she's really nice. And she's super talented.
Yeah,
I mean, she's been doing it for
yeah, and she
forever.
Looks good and is like doing her thing. Like yeah. I'm like, get it, bitch. Like I love that. I love seeing people that just don't.
Oh, totally.
That's one thing too about Europeans is you just go and like nobody gives a shit. Whereas like here they're like, oh, well, you're 21 now. You know, you're not a fetus anymore. You're getting old. It's like there isn't an age deal in Europe where there is so much here, and it's just like shit. Like I was looking at Wolf,
but also have American bands that are still out there. Suzy Quatro is still
very
out there.
She's
doing great.
I just don't ever want to hear like somebody's too old to rock. Like that's when you start getting good. Like I was looking at Wolf, I looked up, it said his age and his information, and I was like, holy shit! Like he's probably right now at his age just starting to get seasoned and good and.
It's always been good.
But I mean, I know your boss in a different way because I was friends with Michael mm-hmm. Wagner and Tina, and just like they were always talking about this guy Wolf. And I mean, I knew of Accept, but I didn't really know of Accept. And he'd come over, and I was like, it's no big. Nothing's ever a big deal to me because I never know what's going on. Like throughout my whole wrestling career,
I know the feeling.
I never know like who's this. Or I'm like, oh, I was always really cool. Everybody in wrestling because I didn't know to react like, oh, like who's that's amazing. But, I mean, I was looking at him, his age, his resume, and I'm just like, he's probably just now, you said he's always been good, but I think that, I don't know, do anybody out there, any brand members, anybody with Russo's brand, do you feel now in your job or now in your skin, don't you feel more confident and enlightened and like you've experienced things? And I gotta say, I think wisdom is like one of the sexiest things out there, because I'll just find myself like putting myself over in my own mind like, wow, Goldie, you really handled that well. When I think of 20 years ago, I would have just ran my mouth or said something stupid. And with wisdom, I posted something yesterday. It was Ellen DeGeneres's 4 top moments in 2000, the last 10 years. And one of the things that I told my best friend is her style and brand of humor is so perfect because she never points anybody out or makes fun of somebody to degrade them or make them feel bad. She always just has this perfect thing to say that just makes you smile and shake your head. And she has people on that I don't agree with politically, or I don't see eye to eye with this or that, and it's like, the humor is so solid, so wise, and so good that I forget all that stuff and I just take it for what it is. And I love that about mm-hmm. people when they can bring an experience to the stage or bring their wisdom and their past failures and successes and really create. Because like when we did our show on Friday, you know, that's years of trial and error and screwing up and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And I would think Wolf, after all these years, has really seen it all. Dude, I gotta tell you, like that one of the guitarists that came out with that, how do you say it, San Powell, where were you guys? The balls to the wall video that you sent me. Where was that?
Sao Paulo, in Brazil.
Yeah, like, dude, he came out and they had like all the choreography down. He was just like rocking out.
That's a trademark thing.
Dude, but I was like, it's kind of hot. Like, I hit that guy. I mean, he's not even my type, and I was like, I'm getting aroused here. Like, that's some hot shit. Like, it was so fucking confident. Like, bros, you know I'm always saying clean your ear hair and your nose and, like, lose weight and look good. That's important. And I'm not backing down from that, but, like, the confidence level. You got to bring your balls to the table, bro. Like, bring them. Chicks dig that, because I was watching that guy, and I was like, I'm thinking bad thoughts here, like, and then here comes Martin. I'm like, oh, that's my friend. I have to stop. I have to shut down all dirtiness. But Wolf, I think I'm excited to see where this goes with you. So you got the call, you auditioned. What happened?
Well, so here's what happened. That the band in its 47 years, I think now,
what? Of 47 years
of existence went through a lot of member changes over the years. The constant, I mean, Wolf was always a constant, and then until they went.
Shit, was he like 10 when he started then? He's gotta be.
In his teens, definitely.
Wow.
I don't know exactly, but in that realm. And then until the band went on a hiatus, which was, I think, in 2000, then it took like a 10-year break. Up until that point was Udo Dirkschneider was the singer. He was the one with the characteristic
Udo Dirkschneider?
Dirkschneider. Dirkschneider.
Dirkschneider.
Yeah, Udo Dirkschneider.
Dirkschneider.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting it.
He was like the trend. And that's what most people actually think of Except. when they think of Accept, yeah, that voice.
Mm.
And
what happened to him?
They parted ways, and then the band went on a hiatus, and then they got back together, and then they got Mark Tornillo, who is from New Jersey, and he was in a band called TT Quick. Mm-hmm. And the exact story how he got in the band, how he auditioned, or what happened, I don't know that precisely yet. Mm-hmm. But he's been the singer ever since, and he's done a great job. He's still has the raspiness, mm-hmm. But he brings his own sound into it, and a great singer and great guy. Everybody in the band is just fantastic.
I can tell.
Fantastic person.
Dirty thoughts. I can tell. Not about you. Martin's got a lovely lady friend. I wouldn't go there. Okay, so back to you.
And then the third constant until just recently was Peter Baltis.
Okay.
He was the bass player basically for the whole time. So. For the last, basically 10 odd years, Wolf and Peter were kind of like the two remaining members of
So he just parted ways or had other things to do?
I don't know how exactly, but at some point he announced his departure from the band. And it was like a little over a year ago.
And they must just panic. Like, seriously, when you got like
chemistry.
I think
it was like a family member leaving.
I'd be shitting bricks. Yeah. Like, that's terrifying.
I think that had quite an impact in that moment. And a good friend of mine from California, Jimmy Palmer, a friend of mine, he is also a big fan of the band.
Yeah.
And he called me up and said, hey, Peter just announced that he's leaving the band. You'd be perfect for it. I'm like, yeah, right. They're just waiting for me.
Stop. Yeah.
And so.
You gotta think that way. I do.
And so it's like, wow. Okay, well, I guess. I had no in, I had no connections, nothing.
In cold.
Yeah, so I was like, well, let me just... So first of all, I looked it up on the internet, if it's even true. There was a statement. I'm like, okay.
Oh, my God.
Well, let me go on the Accept website. Maybe there is some contact information. Some way how to get a hold of somebody. And there
was... this is crazy. I didn't know it went down like this.
And then there was, the email address to the management... And I didn't know who I was writing to, so I just addressed all the band members.
Did you write in German or in English?
Yeah, I wrote in German. And
wait.
I said, so here's what happened. I've read that Peter announced that he's leaving the band, which I'm really sad about. I don't know what you guys are up to now, what your current plans are, or your future plans are. But if you are, if you want to continue, I would love the opportunity to audition.
Yeah, and that's how you talk to somebody. That's how you talk to somebody, not like some of the people that approach me and ask if they want to suck my toes. Okay. Do you think it helped that you're German?
I think it was actually my shoe in, because what I heard later was that the record company actually wanted a German, but half the band was in Nashville.
Oh!
Yeah, so Wolf was here, Peter was also here, and the drummer Christopher Williams, he lives here too, and now our third guitar player.
You gotta take your shot. Yeah, so when you see an opportunity, don't just sit there, take your shot. Shit.
Mm. So I had a few things going for me, and then I had also toured with Uli John Roth, who was a guitar player with the Scorpions.
And then who's this guy? Rod told me. Was it Greg Bissonette?
Greg Bissonette is a really successful, known
studio
drummer.
Played with David Lee Roth?
Yeah, it was on David's first three solo albums.
Wow.
And I made a solo album one time, and then I was like,
I would love to hear your solo album. Do you have that near, at home that I can get a few of that?
I have some in the car.
Okay, let's get that. I want that to run that through this. Can people buy your music anyplace?
Yeah.
Stream it? Buy it? What do you?
Yeah, everything is like on iTunes, or I don't think I'm on Spotify.
Under Martin Motnick?
Yeah.
If you're playing guitar or you're playing bass, go for it. You know, I'm going to do the hard pitch. Go follow him. Look at your camera and tell people what they're following. At what? Martin Motnick.
Well, it's either martinmotnick.com and
M-O-T-N-I-K. Motnick. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
I got it right.
And luckily, I'm the only person with that name, so I'm easy to find. Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, go give him a follow. He's a really good guy. He's not on my shit list. Everybody else is. I'm actually, as my dad put it, it's going to be really hard to find somebody that good. My dad. Oh, he always, Tom the Conservative, he always just puts it right into perspective. So it helped that you're a German. You went for it. You took your shot. Yeah,
but it took like four months to get
a response. I was going to say,
get a response.
It took 4 months to get a response.
Yeah. Because I think I think what I've heard was I was the first person to respond. And I kind of seemed like a vulture.
So they have
obituaries, and they have the
first
address.
Person.
Yeah, and then there's the address like in the bottom. And so I was like, okay, that person died. Is it an apartment for rent now?
Oh, did somebody really say that?
Isn't that an ongoing thing?
I would have never have thought like that. I would have thought this guy is really paying attention, and
I think that's how it was then later perceived. But I think in that initial moment, it's like, screw that guy. So,
wow.
Apparently more emails came in from
people that sucked that weren't German, that didn't write a nice letter. I didn't live in Nashville, but yeah, go ahead.
Bottom line was, at some point, I got a call.
Who called you?
Wolf called me.
Like, did he say, hey, I want to talk to you, what's a good time?
Basically. Actually, that was the email. He got an email and said, hey, can we talk tomorrow? I said, yeah, please call me. And then we talked, and then gave me a little bit of a rundown. He knew most of it. I'm like, he's probably also done research online, saw the videos and stuff. I think what also helped us, the classical stuff, because he's a really big fan of classical music.
Wow.
And when you listen to Accept songs, there's quite a few songs that have.
Yeah, these guys can actually play and write and.
Yeah, and then he quotes classical pieces. Like he throws in the Beethoven sonata into a guitar solo or stuff like that. And that's also what we did with that tour with the symphonic orchestra that we played. Half of it was Accept songs and half of it was rocking arrangements of classical music.
Did people go nuts?
Oh yeah, they loved it. Yeah. We toured all over Europe, Russia, Ukraine. That's actually something that's going to come out. I don't know when.
Yeah, I was going to say, when can we see that?
We were 2 days in Plovdiv, Bulgaria, in an old amphitheater. And did a DVD recording there.
Video though, too.
Yeah. And 2 days, millions of cameras.
I can't wait to see it. With that hot violinist.
Exactly.
Super hot chick. Talented and hot. And now I heard you are currently writing with them.
Right.
It's cool to be accepted in the band and be their new bass player, but then to be asked and considered and have your stuff taken seriously, whoa.
It's scary.
It's just shit.
Yeah, so it's really amazing. And sometimes I have to pinch myself, because I've worked with some amazing artists in the past, and really some super talented, known success. Like Greg, for instance, the fact that I had him on my album was like a huge honor. And then I toured with Uli, legendary guitar player. He might not be as known for himself, but he's influenced so many successful and famous guitar players, like Kirk Hammett from Metallica, for instance. Mm-hmm. Uli's a major influence. Warren Martini from Rat. He comes out a lot and sits in when Uli tours.
Mm-hmm.
Yngwie Malmsteen, the two of them, they're close friends. So he is a legend between guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was lucky to do three North American tours with him and learned a lot. He's a really spiritual, spiritual person and a source of inspiration. And that was amazing. But then now to be actually a band member and see a face on the posters and stuff, it's a different league. And sometimes I still get a little bit, so I really have to do a good job.
I love it. I love seeing all this stuff with you. And I was just like, wow, it was, just as an acquaintance with you, I got excited for you. That's just
Thank
neat.
You.
Yeah. You're talking about like spirituality and being influenced, and I'm sure there's people that are watching and listening right now that are like, okay, just come on, just get to it. Get to the metal stories. There's always like these metal stories, and people will say because of our image, they're like, oh, we don't want a metal band coming to this venue. And I'm like, we're not metal. Like, we sing some metal songs and we're pop and we're rock, and they like have this huge preconceived notion, but we do have, Goldilocks Band has a lot of metal stories, and that usually happens late at night, and it's usually to Rod Sailor. a lot of times people mistake his drum cases for toilets, and they take a drop a big deuce in there, or many times we've seen people urinating all over his stuff. That the urination
I love Rod. He's one of the most
kind, gentle, but
if I look at him, I wouldn't fuck with it.
They're drunk. Like, they literally think those purple cases are a toilet and lift the lid off, and they're off to the edge of the stage or behind the green room or whatever, and we've caught people, like, with their big white asses hanging off and dropping a deuce. That's kind of metal.
I don't think so. I'm trying to think
it's metal. What did one time... Oh, I was really sick with the flu. We were opening for... I can't remember who we were opening for, but I called Brett Michaels' band, Pete Evick, and I said, bro, I'm really sick, and I'm just vomiting all over stage. And he was very proud. He was very happy for me, and he just said, Goldie, that's rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you ain't puking on stage, it ain't rock and roll. And those are a couple of my stories, usually involving some sort of bodily fluid, excrement. How about you? What are a couple of really great, we're going to close this and be respectful of everyone's time this week on the Realm Network and Mr. Martin Motnick, but what are just a couple of metal stories that you can leave us on? And it can involve tits and titties, and I'm sure, do chicks still do that at like shows? Are they like all about showing their boobies and stuff? Because I haven't been to like a metal concert in a while. Like, what goes on that's crazy? And is there anymore? Is that just like mainstream?
Well,
like,
actually, I have to let you in on a secret.
Okay, what is it?
Playing with Accept is way more boring backstage than you think.
Well, no, because like some of the guys that I talked to now, like they're all recovering. So like there's no, I have half of the guys in like the real rock bands that I know, like they try to have like mineral water back there, like some healthy shit to eat. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And, like it's all been replaced with like, because their kids are back there now and they're trying to keep it. Like, okay, so it's kind of boring.
No, it's not as you imagine. It's a work environment,
yeah,
and that's kind of like I go to work, and
so there aren't like chicks hanging around backstage with their boobs up.
No, not too often.
Sorry, guys. I tried to bring it to you first here on the Raw Network, but it ain't happening.
I think that the most rock and roll I think that I've ever and that's gonna be boring too. I played a concert in Berlin one time.
Mm-hmm. Berlin.
Yeah,
that's
and
rock and roll.
With my former band called Eisbrecher, and it's kind of the Rammstein.
Okay.
They're signed with Sony Music. You should check them out. They're really great
Very
great
good.
Guys and really awesome German lyrics. and just industrial metal, basically.
Okay.
And so we're playing this club. I think one of the co-owners is the singer of Rammstein, actually, of that club that we played at. And show's over, I walk backstage, and there is a chick backstage. And she leads me in, and we're going to the bathroom, and she's like, hey, I've got something for you. And so she had a line of Coke there.
Okay.
And I look at her, and I'm like, and she goes, well, it's for you. I'm like, gotta be honest, I've never done it. Never done Coke. And she goes, huh. Well, if you've never done it, then that's probably the wrong stuff to start with. And still haven't done it. So,
what happened to the Coke?
Well, I don't know, maybe she sniffed it, I don't know. Oh, or snort.
I thought there was going to be a penis involved.
That's what I'm saying, it's a, even that story is boring.
It's not, I figured that like, she's got something for you and she was, you know, maybe batting for another team or I don't know. It's not a bad story. I guess you're not as crazy metal. I'm trying to think if I've got one more. Oh, I remember Valdosta, Georgia, somebody was backing into me. It was a big catwalk, and it was probably 4 feet off the floor, and they kept backing, and I remember I was getting down, I was going to sing to this person to the back of their head, and then she grabbed my legs and bit my vagina down, and I just had to get stitches and a tetanus shot, and it's just, you know, I mean, I've got a little bit of coverage there now. We were talking about grooming on the last podcast, but when I am sporting the dinner roll, as Brooke Woods so eloquently put it last week on the podcast, when I'm sporting the dinner roll, that makes for some good conversation. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What happened? It's like, let me tell you about my story in Valdosta, Georgia. Yeah, you just want to really be careful.
That's not how you want to be eaten now.
Oh, dude, I went into shock.
I can imagine.
Because she wouldn't let go, and I'm like, that's my shit in your... It was awful.
Sorry.
It was, yeah. Well, anyway, that's my rock and roll story.
Nah, I don't have any of those. Luckily.
We are going to wrap things up, but we want to make sure that everybody out there, please go give Martin a follow. He is on Instagram. You are on Twitter, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of people that watch and listen that are on Twitter. And check out his website. Just go give it a click. And Facebook, like, follow this incredible, dream-like journey. And even though they said that you were kind of being a vulture, I say when you have an opportunity that arises, go for it. Don't look back, jump out face first. It's worked for me. I'm sure there's contrary stories, but if there's an opportunity that comes up, there's some chick that, you know, don't be a creep, plan your time, but like speak up for yourselves and look inside your hearts and figure out what's going to really light things up and make you happy. And a lot of times, you can still do it alongside of the other things that you're doing, too. There's always a will. There's always a way. There's always a way to be creative and figure out what's going to make you the happiest. So that's what we want you to be. Filled with joy, prosperity, and goodness and light. Welcome again, everybody. Willkommen.
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 Danke schön.
Bitte schön. Our guest today, Mr. Martin Motnick.
Thank you very much.
Buddy, it's your girl Goldilocks, and you're inside Goldie's Closet. And I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not, if you come to our band shows, what have you, it's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for. And if you could just simply do this, go to goldieknows.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella. And everything that you order, I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. Thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.